Thanks for staying with us here on WPR News. Larry Mueller here. You know, Wisconsin is home to several state and national waterways. And in 2022, the Great Pinery Heritage Waterway earned its state designation, but it could also win some national recognition next year as well. Going to talk about what that means for you and for me with our two guests. We're talking with Bill Bertram. Bill is board president of the Wausau and Marathon County Parks Foundation. Bill, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Also with us, Darren Bush, owner and chief paddling evangelist of Rutabaga Paddle Sports in Madison. And Darren, always great to have you with us. Thanks for joining in.
It's always great to be here. Thank you.
So as we talk with our two guests, I hope you'll join in. Does your bucket list include maybe a multi-day paddling camping trip to the Wisconsin River, perhaps? Did you know the river includes Whitewater Kayaking Park in downtown Wausau? We can talk about that. Worried about national designation or what that might mean to overcrowding on the river? Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us to talk@wpr.org. Bill Bertram, let's get some basics out of the way. Tell us, what is the Great Pinery Heritage Waterway?
Yeah, Larry, it was actually the concept of the waterway goes back to 1987, with then-Governor Thompson had an idea of a head-to-toe trail on the Wisconsin River, starting at its headwaters and dead-ending as it enters the Mississippi. At that time, the lower 92 miles were developed up to the first dam, and because of the dam owners at that time, the trail was never extended north. And then in 2021, in December, our board decided to do more impactful projects, and this was the first of those projects. So this is a 108-mile water trail from Hat Rapids in Oneida County, and it dead ends in Lake DeBay Dam in Portage County.
Wow. What's the story behind the name?
Yeah, we originally had a different name on the trail, and what's unique about the trail is the historical storytelling from ancient times through the mid-20th century, and the historical societies in Merrill and here in Wausau thought that the white pine and was a defining point for northern Wisconsin. So obviously it became the Great Pinery Heritage Waterway because of the attraction of the lumbermen and coming up river. It goes back to a survey done in 1837 by Joshua Hathaway on the Treaty of the Cedars that opened up this part of the river to back then to Big Bull Falls.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool story. And so in 2022, the trail was designated a state waterway. What is a designated state waterway, Bill?
Yeah, so when we approach the state, they have 20 state designated waterways. And part of this is having defined landings and actually taking some of Darren's ideas at Rutabaga. We decided to use GIS locators and do a technology play, QR codes and stuff, in terms of not just the history, but also where all those landings are located at. And then before we developed a map, we put the maps on most of the popular water apps. And so the state looked at that and said, you need a map. And we just took it a step further based on technology to make it more mobile with social media with today's recreational paddlers.
Yeah, and You wonder how soon, let's put it that way, could the waterway win designation as a national trail?
Yeah, so we actually are in the second year of a grant with the National Park Service. Their water trail conservation group, they picked this trail to work with us on. And so November 1st of this year, we will submit an application for National Water Trail designation. There's two types, scenic and recreational. The northern part of our trail is very scenic. The second largest water, you paddle around the second largest waterfall in the state of Wisconsin at Grandfather Falls. And we're applying for recreational designation. And so we'll find out sometime after the first of the year, probably February, March. This has to be passed by Congress. And then next June on Trail Day, they'll tell us a little bit before that. But then if we're successful, we'll have a ribbon cutting in and around that date of 2025.
Let me turn to Darren, to you. Wisconsin already, and Bill mentioned this, we already have several national water trails. Maybe you can mention some of them and then talk about what has federal recognition meant for those rivers.
You know, it's funny, is I'm not super familiar with the ones in Wisconsin. That's Bill Bailiwick, but I've worked on them at the national level, but that was 25 years ago. And Bill knows this well. The Northern Forest Canoe Trail was sort of the first really good cooperative program between public and private entities. And it runs from Old Forge, New York, up to Katahdin in Maine, basically. And it loops over into Canada for a short period of time. The good thing about that is they went to, like, the timber companies and said, hey, can we put a campsite on your land? And they went, well, no. And they said, well, what if we pay for it and promise to keep it clean and do all the work? And they went, yeah, okay, fine. If it doesn't go well, we'll just kick you off. Well, they educated the people that were paddling it and put signage up, and it people understand it's a privilege, right? So public and private landowners come up with this beautiful trail, and I've paddled some big chunks of it, and it's moving water, it's flat water, it's all different biomes, so it's pretty cool. But it took a long time to get that. I think it's 700 and something miles, Bill, do you know?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's about the correct mileage on it, yeah.
But it was kind of the first one to really do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And people are taking, I mean, smart people, what's that line in academics? It's like to steal from one person is plagiarism, to steal from everybody is research, right? So the smart people that are doing water trails like Bill are going, well, there's already a model. Let's just take it and adapt it to us.
Yeah. And what models did you use, Bill, for the trails that we have here in Wisconsin?
Yeah, you know, we looked at half a dozen trails around the United States, but for the most part, kind of focused on recreational trails. So the fabulous Fox Trail in southeast Wisconsin, the Milwaukee River Trail. We looked at the St. Croix National Trail, and then with the help of the National Park Service, they were able to give us an additional maybe half dozen trails around the United States that they felt that was best in class. Being a good listener, I met with Darren, and he had a lot of big ideas. And we kept pivoting around his ideas, got in front of the Department of Tourism, Office of Outdoor Rec, and they said, you know, initially another water trail. And we said, well, this is really different because each landing on the trail, there's 35 of them, either landings or portages between the trailhead at Hat Rapids and the Lake Debay Dam. We have storyboards there that tell the history of the river as you come down. They're tied back to an idea that Aaron had in terms of QR codes that tie back to the museums to give you additional information on the river and the history of the river. And that's what's really unique about this trail. It's not just a paddle trail. It's a paddle trail that tells the history of one of the great rivers in the United States.
Yeah. Pretty cool. Darren, that was a great idea. Darren, that was a great idea.
Okay. I have a vague recollections of talking to Bill about this. But he's right, is the connection to the land and to the water is really important. And a good example of people figuring this out is in, if you look in Prairie du Sac, all the buildings on that main street used to have their backs turned to the river, right? It was like, that's where you throw stuff, right? And now you're seeing people put, like the Culvers put a patio in the back, and people are flipping their attitude to make the river actually something scenic and beautiful to look at rather than a place to dump stuff. So it's nice to see that happening. The Northern Forest Canoe Trail, one of the things that happening there is all the landings. It's they don't have the same technology we do because we're ahead of them, I guess, now. But a lot of the trail paddles through places that are fairly rural in, like, New Hampshire, where the locals don't have anything to do with the river. It's basically just there. They're usually the economy isn't very good, and they're struggling with other things. So the recreational aspect of the river is, like, the last thing they're thinking about. But people stop, and people go to the stores, and they spend money. And that's the best thing about going through these rural areas, is it does bring in an economic impact, and they are starting to see that, hey, there's a benefit in keeping the river clean and in maintaining landings and camping areas.
Yeah, it's we've kind of had that ethic, I mean, in this state. You think about it, you guys, I mean, somebody once on the show compared, he was from Illinois, and not to denigrate Illinois, but at the time he said, you know, most of my friends think about water in Illinois as a place to get from one point to another, or to carry goods from one place to another. But here in this our state, we tend to look at it more from an environmental and natural look.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And there's great value in having a water trail for, I mean, economic value is one thing. And I'm actually on the committee for the Office of Outdoor Rec, and we talk a lot about there's an economic impact. And outdoor activities are the largest sector in Wisconsin. If you combine them all together, hunt, fish, paddle, everything like that. You know, and mining is like 0.9%, and we're pushing 11, I think.
Yeah.
So it's when people talk about the jobs that come from mines, it's like, great, but this you can't export paddling, right? you can't make paddling in China. So it's going to be jobs that are going to be local all the time.
Katina in Green Bay, we'll go to you. Thank you for calling.
Hi there. Well, first of all, I want to thank Darren for hosting Canoocopia, because in 2010, I actually learned about the Northern Forest Canoe Trail, and I've through paddled it twice, and I just got back from Maine doing another section of it.
Wow.
So I'm very active and very knowledgeable about the Northern Forest Canoe Trail. But because of that, I since went on, I paddled the Wisconsin River from source to mouth, and I do have a question about the section that we're talking about today. But I also wanted to say that my granddaughter is 10 years old, and we just got back yesterday. We did an overnight on the Peshtigo River flowage and camped on Calden Falls. So I've introduced her to paddling, all because probably Canoocopia and learning about paddling on the Northern Forest Canoe Trail as an expedition. So thank you for that. My question is, so when I paddled in the Wisconsin River in 2019, I found a resource called the Wisconsin Centennial Trail that had information about the whole trail, but it was kind of defunct. I should also say I've also done the Fox River. It was called the Fox River Heritage Trail, and that organization seems to be non-existent anymore, and I kind of cobbled together an expedition on the Fox River from Portage to the mouth of Green Bay, where I live. So can you speak, I guess, to if what's the Centennial Trail part, if that's still in existence, or just expand upon more about the pinery heritage and the infrastructure that makes it possible to do a source or a long distance overnight trip?
Well, Bill, let's turn to you for that.
I was going to say, great, great question. And so what made the trail, call it feasible was that all the landings were already cut in by either the state, the county, or a parks department along the trail. And what made the trail then possible was that early Centennial Trail back in 2007, the Wisconsin Valley Improvement Company, in honor of their 100th year centennial, they created the Centennial Trail from the head to the toe. And they got permission to cross the dams at that time on a right-of-way. So we found that kind of older trail, and then we built the Great Pinery on that. We moved, as an example, instead of coming down the main channel, we went to the left or right bank. We also measured, call it Wi-Fi connectability along the trail, thinking in today's world it's social media. And then we updated the maps and made it back to what Darren was saying. It was really, we looked at it as an economic driver. We had a destination software where we managed, created a map of the trail so we can measure every paddler on the river on the trail link now. And so as an example, we had a 14% increase in paddlers last year, almost 12,000 paddlers on the trail. So we're able to measure that and then treasure it and then get that back to communities to say, here's why you should invest in the trail. The National Park Service, one of the gaps they identified, there wasn't enough camping on the water trail. So there's 7 existing campsites today, and we're in the process of developing 20 more water accessible, primitive, dispersed camping on either islands or on DNR property or on private land. And so that's in the process now of the master plans have been opened up with the DNR where we've given them GIS locators where those campsites should be on public property like Bill Cross or Menard Island. And we think that for through paddlers, it acts as a really great dimension to know where those campsites are at, how you reserve them, and will enhance the trails in future years.
Bettina, does that help out?
Oh, sure. I think it's infrastructure is really important to encourage paddlers to utilize these areas. And I heard a little bit when I was on hold, the Northern Forest Canoe Trail has definitely been the communities through which those rivers and areas the trail passes has definitely, I think, impacted in a positive way the communities. And you're seeing there's more events being planned and more awareness, and it is helping some of those towns that have been devastated by economic changes, like with paper mills closing and whatnot. So I'm excited about any water trail, so this is great.
Thank you very much for calling.
Why haven't we paddled together yet? I don't understand. that would be wonderful.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah. Thank you so much for that call. Here we are visiting with Bill Bertram as board president of the Wausau and Marathon County Parks Foundation and Darren Bush, owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports in Madison and chief paddling evangelist for Rutabaga. Questions for them, I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. The Great Pinery Heritage Water Trail includes more than 100 miles of the Wisconsin River. Have you paddled it? Do you recommend paddling a different state or national waterway in Wisconsin? Give us a call. The number's 800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org, and we'd love to hear from you. Let's go to Mary Kay in Kenosha. Mary Kay, thank you for calling.
Hi, I'd like to talk about the Wisconsin River by Wisconsin Dells. I would like to see the river and the cliffs stay like they are, the sandbars stay like they are, canoeing up there. And it's a scenic trail, okay? It's not for like a million people to go up there all at one time. So can we keep that wild?
Actually, you know, it's interesting as a lot of it is. I mean, north of the dam, Black Hawk Island and around there, there's a lot of recreational use, like the ducks and the jet boats and stuff like that. I don't go there till October. When I go there in October, I don't see a single person. And she's right. It's absolutely stunningly beautiful. I mean, the Bennett photographs don't do it justice. And it's H.H. Bennett. Was that who it was?
Yeah.
Yep.
The photographer.
And then below the dam, actually, Lake Delta down there is also really lovely. And I don't see a lot of boats on that. The people don't see the river when they go to the Dells unless they're in a duck. It's kind of, they go there for other reasons, right? But Mirror Lake is stunningly beautiful.
It's stunning, yeah, it is. Yeah. Bill, a comment from you.
Yeah, you know, we look at this as kind of a segment trail. Headwaters to the trail inception point is a place called Point Boss that was kind of opened up the Northwoods back in 1837, and then the Central Sands area. But yeah, the more scenic, the more wild it remains, is the more people that are today driven to that type of adventure. And yeah, we would support that 100%.
Alan in Ripon will give you a chance. Hi, Alan.
I was going to refer to the fact that I did a paper on transportation on the Wisconsin River when I was at the University of Wisconsin in Stevens Point right after World War II. And I was interested in the fact that when I looked at the old Pinery publication, which is a newspaper, they always talked about transportation on the river in naval terms. So it was always a captain this or captain that. It was so interesting that the railroad came about that same time. And when the railroad came, all the thing changed. And there were the little tugboats that went between Little Bull Falls at Bozenee and Wass's Big Bull Falls, and I suppose the other tugs would reform going up to Grandfather Falls. But I just commented on that Pinery newspaper that might be of interest to you.
Oh, thanks for calling. Bill, are you familiar? You know, you're a kind of a history guy. Are you familiar with that?
You know, I'm not, but I've made a note to you know, based on those comments, to follow up on that, because, you know, it's been really interesting with the development of the trail. You know, in today's world, you can't get two politicians of the same party to agree to anything. When we came up with the concept of the trail from Tomahawk all the way down to Stevens Point, we had 100% buy-in from the counties, the municipalities, Chamber of Commerce's in all of those communities. And we started to getting tidbits of information from people. The Norwood 1847 discovery exploration to try to find the headwaters of the Wisconsin in his journals. And so, yeah, we'll follow up on that because it's been an interesting study for myself and for others to look at this history, because it's usually just a generation deep. And we're actually on our website, because of the historical societies, they've done podcasts now on historical bridges on the Wisconsin. And they've got one coming up on it's the most dammed river in the world, hardest working river in the world. But most of these dams are historic in nature. They go back to the early dams in the late 1860s and the dams that are there today in early 1900s. And so, yeah, any information we get on the river is always exciting. And then we're on our website. We have a heading that says history, where we disseminate that back and then tie back to the historical societies for more information. So, yeah, I appreciate that. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
It's really cool. I've always wondered, when I paddled down the lower Wisconsin, we passed several bridges that are swing bridges. I mean, they're clearly made, the railroad bridges, and you can look at the ironwork underneath, and I'm a blacksmith, so I geek out of that stuff. But clearly the river's not deep enough to carry any sort of traffic. So they must have been there for like a week, and then they decided not to dredge anymore or something. But it's interesting that they're there.
Well, Fritz Albert, who was a professor in the Department of Agricultural Journalism at the University of Wisconsin, produced a film. Bill, I don't know if you're familiar with it. It's probably in the, I'm sure it's in the archives of the State Historical Society on the Wisconsin River, and called it, Wisconsin River was the most working river in the world.
Right, 23 dams?
I think there were something like 23 dams that were generating electricity.
Yep, plus being able to float lumber. So
and
yeah,
being able to float lumber. Did you ever see that film, Bill?
No, but I just made a note for that too, Larry, because I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, Fritz Albert was the film guy. He was a great film producer.
Yeah, thanks.
And so it's another thing to look at. Alan, thank you again. You can join in.
Much.
Yeah, you can join in too. The number's 800-642-1234 or email to talk at WPR.org. So the Pinery, the Great Pinery Heritage Waterway, it's, as you say, it's more than 100 miles long. How long would it take to paddle the whole way?
I've done sections of it. And there's a couple that I work with in Lincoln County, Chris and Candy Schatz, and Candy's a five-time head-to-toe paddler of it. On this section, it would be, depending on how many hours you want to paddle per day, but it's probably, a week to 10 days with camping. And it's interesting on this section, too, Larry. If you go from Rhinelander, we start just outside of the Rhinelander area down to and I'll pick on Nacoosa or Wisconsin Rapids. The fall of the river in this section is equivalent to like two Niagara Falls.
Oh.
So it has one of the greatest drops of any river east of the Mississippi over a really small section. And the Wisconsin's kind of like four different rivers with the same name Wisconsin, and how they were geologically kind of developed. But this section is before the damming was just it was a really incredible wild river. The falls at Grandfather Falls were 94 foot. There's still a number of rapids on the river, Whirlpool Rapids and Poise Rapids and Bill Cross Rapids, and that are class one to class three. But it offers every paddler, and we put that on our website too. Kind of, we rate the river in terms of family paddling and ease and difficulty based on water levels and on that. So it's 10 days of fun paddling up in the Northwoods and a lot of wildlife from occasional bear to a lot of deer and just full of eagles. So yeah.
And the goal kind of is, isn't it, to make a waterway a destination for paddlers who may be willing to spend more than a day on the river?
Absolutely. I'm a really nerdy kind of a researcher on the data, and there was a study done that only 3% of paddlers are through paddlers, multiple day trips, and about 7% are 4 hours or greater. And most of them are recreational paddlers, 4 hours left. I think it's like 87% of paddlers. And we thought by using social media and some of the other technology plays, the goal is to get more through paddlers and to make it more, as Darren said, what's the economic impact of that? And for communities that are more rural in nature, and then embrace the river. And that is our long-term goal is the through paddlers.
Shelley in near Beaver Dam has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Shelley.
Hi, how are you?
Great, appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
what a terrific program. You have kept me entertained on my drive from the land of Lincoln to the Dairy State. A couple of things. I wondered if you were familiar with this extraordinary exhibit called Soul of the River, which is in downtown Wisconsin Dells, right on the river, appropriately.
I'm not.
No, I've to be honest, I've not spent much time actually in the Dells.
Yeah.
Photographer's name is Joseph Lute, and he's from the Dells and studied photography, art photographer, but has done a beautiful exhibit. It's actually outdoors. And I know it sounds crazy to say it's right in the middle of downtown Dells, but suspend that for a minute and realize it's just an extraordinary exhibit that talks about the river, history, just every aspect that you've been talking about today. We have a place on the Upper Dells, which you probably know is what locals refer to the river that's above the dam. For years we were a lake family up in Manitowish Waters, but have really come to appreciate the river. And I agree with you, October is the time to be out there in a canoe. But if you have a chance to see this exhibit, it really pays homage. He pays homage to H.H. Bennett, who you referenced before, but has really brought kind of a contemporary, also historic kind of slant to the river itself. It's really a gem.
Well, Shelley, thank you so much for calling. Well, something else to take a look at here.
I'm going to go there.
I am too.
Yeah.
I'll meet you for lunch, Bill.
That sounds great.
It's about halfway.
Yeah, my treat. Yep. You give so much, so.
Yeah, thank you, Shelley. Joseph in Madison. Madison, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I had a question about a cow fence that goes across the creek, the Black Earth Creek. We came through there a while back, and it was extremely dangerous with where we kind of almost got caught under a cable that is on the side. So just any information about that, or how, you know, the best way when you approach that fence, where should you go over it, like on the sides or direct in the middle?
Over it? I don't go over them. Usually, if people don't know what this is, it's basically a wire or a line across the river with boards of or plastic or anything like PVC pipe 3-4 feet long that go down to the top of the water. And the reason it's there is to keep cows from going up or downstream. So they'll put them where near a cow path might cross the river. And some of them are 2x6s or 2x8s or 2x12s, and they're getting through them is tough. I'd recommend portaging around them whenever you can. Some of them are PVC pipe, and you just kind of blast right through them. But yeah, when you come around the corner and you current, and there's this thing in front of you, it's intimidating, and I agree with you.
Joe, thank you for calling. Nathan in Prairie du Sac, it's your turn. Hi, Nathan.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I was just kind of wondering, if someone is coming down the river or whatever, like camping sites and stuff, and how that works, you know, if you have to find the right place to camp, you know, like overnight.
Yeah.
So my understanding is you can camp on the lower Wisconsin Riverway anywhere below the high tide mark, and that is not private property. So that means pretty much sandbars. And this is another thing that I was going to ask Bill that I don't know, is if you can make a national or a state waterway a legit trail. And the reason for that is that the lower Wisconsin River is heavily used, and it is also heavily abused. So I take an onion sack with me when I paddle, basically just, you know, things you get onions in, but I can stuff them full of trash that I find, and then they drain. So I can just hang it up and let it drain, then throw it in my canoe. I always pick up at least a bag whenever I paddle, and plus disposing of human waste, there's no place to do that, and so that gets kind of dicey. Yeah. And there's no fire pans. So I would love to see that turned into some sort of state water trail where there is more stewardship, but also just more, make it easier for people to do the right thing.
And Bill, let's talk about the stretch that we're dealing here with, the Great Pinery Heritage Waterway, in terms of camping and so forth, and how people find. You mentioned this earlier in the show, but there are campsites available that people can find.
Yeah. So, you know, right now, this was identified by the National Park Service as a gap in our first grant last year with them. And they actually have been working with the Wisconsin DNR, as well as the Department of Interior Bureau of Land Management, to find those designated spots along on public land. So right now there's seven campgrounds, some private, some public, on the river. Far too, not enough. But as we go forward on the website, we'll be adding those campsites as well as future campsites as they become available, either on private or public land, and then using GIS locators. So you know exactly where those are at when you're paddling on a paddle app. And unlike the lower Wisconsin, we don't have the number of sandbars up here. And but it's interesting with the team that kind of manages the lower Wisconsin, their executive director, we've worked close with him. And then he also weighed in heavy with the Bureau of Land Management to say, okay, what islands are actually considered to be public where we could have more dispersed camping, but what does that camping look like from the DNR's perspective in terms of pit pots and the like? You know, Darren's comments are in terms of human waste and are a concern. And then on the Lake DeBay portion, it's one of the civic organizations there that the two campsites that are there, that they maintain them and keep them clean, and as a friends group of the river.
We are talking today about, well, we're talking paddling and we're talking about rivers, and we're zeroed in on the Great Pinery Heritage Waterway with our guest today, Darren Bush of Rutabaga Paddle Sports, and Bill Bertram, who's board president of the Wausau and Marathon County Parks Foundation. Great to have you with us here on WPR News. I'm Larry Mueller. Tomorrow on the Larry Mueller Show, we'll talk about home improvement projects and setting up a smart device home network. That's tomorrow at 11. But right now, we are talking about the Great Pinery Heritage Waterway along the Wisconsin River. It's a 108-mile trail. With our two guests, Bill Bertram and Darren Bush. It's great to have them with us as well. Questions, give a call, 800-642-1234, email to talk at WPR.org. I wanted to mention the whitewater part of the trail. Bill, can you talk about that?
Yeah. So, at the heart of the trail is the Wausau Whitewater Park, urban whitewater. They have 10 releases a year. And as an example, we just had a paddling club came over to flatwater paddlers to do the Heritage Trail, the Great Pinery. But then they camped downtown Wausau on those water releases, and I think there were 16 of them. Eight of them got certified to do whitewater paddling on that Sunday on these open water releases that they have. And it was an incredible experience. You know, you paddle the Great Pinery on one side of Clark Island, and on the other side is the urban whitewater trail. And Darren and his team is up here, I think, a couple times a year, supporting that trail and lessons and, you know, access to boats for that type of paddling. But, yeah, it's a real asset to the trail and one of the few that you can do both types of paddling.
It's interesting, Darren, and you do get up there.
Yeah, it's more than a couple times. I've got a Dan on staff is a hardcore whitewater paddler, so he goes up both for his own enjoyment, but the public releases are really a big benefit. The other thing is it's a professional course. So like some of the team trials for Worlds for whitewater are going to be held there this summer. And there's just a lot of attention from outside of Wisconsin, even, you know, like I said, national and international organizations mm-hmm. using it.
Katina had called her, who had called earlier, emailed, but wanting to reassure other listeners that marked portages exist all around all the dams, and kudos to the hydroelectric companies that maintain them. Also said that shuttle services might be helpful to encourage more through paddlers of water trails. And signage along the river to make known that burgers and beer can be had in the small towns along the river would be helpful, too. Bill?
Yeah, so, you know, great question. We're in the process of developing a interactive map for the trail versus the downloadable static maps we have on the segments, as well as on the website we have all the trail guides, water trail guides, that pertain to these sections of the river. The trail guide that we're developing is segment by segment, and it will have, if you want to stop in Merrill for a beer or piece of pie up by Grandfather's Falls, there's a little cafe up there along the river, that'll all be designated, and it'll be in real time, so it'll be a great trip planner. As well as all the portages are marked and the distances and portages, not in terms of rods, but in terms of feet. And in addition, it's where there are ADA landings, and then we also standardize on the river with a specific manufacturer. So you don't even have to get your feet wet to get into the water or get out of the water. I think we have 11 universal dock launch systems and I think 3 or 4 ADA approved dock launch systems on the trail now. And that's really, it's been the civic clubs that have kind of bellied up to the bar to put those in on the trail length. And again, the interactive map has, you know, very, very specific history bits as you come down on it for a planning tool, hotels, those campgrounds, and where you might see certain types of bird or wildlife. We work with the Wisconsin bird clubs, kind of like where that the best place to spot a, you know, wildlife at. So, yeah, and that'll all be on there shortly.
Yeah, and we haven't given the site itself, which I think we have probably a link up already on our Larry Mueller Show site. But how do people just type? If you type in the name Great Pinery Heritage Waterway, is that going to get you to the site?
It will. And if you just type in Great Pinery, it'll get you to the site. And and you know, early on, and this goes back last year, Darren gave us space at Canoocopia, and that was really kind of the launch of the trail. And we had just overwhelming response. We were back this year with trail maps. I think we ran off something like 500 maps on the segments, gave every one of them away by day 2 of Canoocopia. And it was like, you know, we thought we'd be bringing maps back, but it was just the opposite. And the other thing is kind of neat is the call it the merchandising of the trail. I lived in the Netherlands, and there is a trail over there, kind of a pilgrimage trail called the El Camino, where you get stamps based on the El Camino trail, and they all flow to a very specific spot in Spain. we took that idea to create a adventure map with stamps that we'll be introducing for people to get stamped along the way. And then at the end of it, we would get a free Great Pinery Heritage Waterway T-shirt. And they had a little local coffee company that just brews. It's called Riverside Dark Blend. And it's called the coffee company here is called the Pinery. And they, you know, we, you know, highlight them, and you can go in and get a cup of coffee that tastes and smells like a smoky wood fire in the Northwoods. So, and we got a beer company now that's interested in coming up with a Pinery summer shanty beer for us. So it's actually interesting to see how the business community has gotten around the trail. And back to Darren's comments, I mean, so many of our communities have turned their back on the river, and now they, you know, they face it and say, my gosh, this is a way to drive, you know, economics and you know, into our communities with really great people that on that. So
somebody else wondered, and you've been talking about segments. What is a typical length of a segment?
Yeah, that's a great question. When we looked at the data for typical paddlers, we try to keep the segments in 4 or 8 hour blocks, and realizing that's how most people paddle if you're not a through paddler. So the landings are all kind of 2 hour paddles from each other. And then they're into, and the bigger segments are up north in Lincoln County, a little bit more rural, much more scenic, and not as many landings on those. But we try to keep these in that 2 to 4 hour type range before your bottom gets tired in the bottom of your kayak, and you say, yeah, I got to get out and walk around and on that. So you
need a different seat because that doesn't happen to me.
I need a different seat.
Oh, boy. Well, Lauren in Eau Claire emailed to say that Lauren, she says she grew up in going to YMCA Camp Manitou and went on to lead canoe trips as a young adult, fell in love with Wisconsin and its rivers. Her favorite trips include the high water flows in June on the Brule River, which empties into Lake Superior. Lauren said they are really looking forward to trying the Great Pinery Heritage Trail now that they have learned about it. So that's kind of a cool thing.
It is. Very cool. Come on over. Yes, Eau Claire, I belong to Pure Water Paddlers over in Eau Claire. And so I paddle over there quite a bit. And so I know their waters, but I have to be honest, we have better water.
Well, I tell you what, it's been great fun talking with both of you, and I really appreciate it. The Great Pinery Heritage Waterway, you've certainly gotten my interest up to get up there and try some of those segments out.
Let's do one of those WPR trips that Larry leads instead of going to Europe or whatever. We'll just go up to Eau Claire, right?
That'd be kind of fun. I kind of like that idea.
I'm in.
Yeah. All right. Come
on
anytime.
Well, thanks to you both very much, Bill and Darren. Bill Bertram is board president of the Wausau and Marathon County Parks Foundation. Great supporter, obviously, and did a lot of work on the Great Pinery Heritage Waterway. Go online, take a look at it. I think you're going to like it. Darren Bush, owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports in Madison, our chief paddling evangelist with us today as well. And we'll get them both back and we'll talk again. And thank you for listening. Remember, these shows are a team effort. Our producers, Clara Neipert and Joel Patnaud, our technical directors, Lee Rayburn and Jeff Robbins. Our executive director is Jill Nanow. I'm Larry Mueller. Thank you so much for listening. Stay with us. Lots more in store on WPR News. See you soon.